Well, good day, everyone. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and welcome to the Zendo Reliability webinar. And today we're talking about the certifications that are out there. And the question is really, does that make you a professional? And it's not a terribly controversial question, I think, but there's a good number of certifications available in all kinds of different fields. Everything from the legal professional engineer or chartered engineer in some parts of the world, which gives you basically a license from the state for the engineering work you're doing. As far as I'm aware, there isn't any for reliability engineering specifically at a state licensing or sanctioning level, but there are professional societies and private organizations that provide certifications of various forms. But is that necessarily a equivalent or similar to a professional license from a state? Well, I think most of you already know the answers to that and so on. And we were chatting in the chat window briefly there with Sean. It looks like he has a CRE, CQE, and a Six Sigma Master Black Belt. But Sean, that was from an organization called IQF, which I'm good to know that it's heavy on statistics, because I think that's what a Six Sigma Black Belt should be on. But International Quality Federation. Thanks, Sean. I hadn't heard of them before, so I'll have to track that down and learn more about that program and what they do. All right. Well, that's an easy URL, and IQF.org. That's great. Thanks, Sean. So there's a handful of other folks on the line, and so please do use the chat window and let us know what certifications you hold, and also, or if you don't, I'd like to know that also. And I've got the opening slides here and a bunch of links and stuff, but we'll come back to those at the end of the presentation. So as you type in certifications you have, I'll move us over to the slide deck for today. Hopefully it all works. Fowd doesn't have any. So Fowd, are you looking to get a certification? Is that of interest or to? And so I've got another CRE. I'm a CRE and a CQE. I've gotten both of those. So CQE first, because I was doing a lot of work in the quality world, working in a factory, and then got a master's in statistics, and it just made sense to sit for that exam. And all right, SMRP. Now, Jack, I've heard a lot about the SMRP and being similar to the CRE, but with more of a maintenance focus. And it looks like you opted out of the CRE. I think I went the opposite direction. I had the CRE and then opted out of the SMRP. But I understand it's a pretty stiff test in certification. All right. Looks like a good number of folks have got. Now, the SMRP is not a professional license. It's like the ASQ's certification program. It's SMRP is sponsored by the Society of Maintenance and Reliability Professionals, and the certification is the CRMP that they offer. Good number of CREs out there. Good. So this might be a really, really short presentation. And Ray, you've got a professional engineering license in IE. I think that's industrial engineering. I'm not sure. Industrial, right. All right. So as far as I know, there's not one in reliability engineering, but electrical and mechanical, industrial, civil, there's a handful of others that do that. But as I was saying, is that the basic question here is easy to answer. Does getting a certification make you a professional, and in particular, professional reliability engineering? And the basic answer is no. It doesn't. Now, I know plenty of engineers that are professionals. They act and behave and work in a very professional manner. They provide a lot of value, and they may or may not have a certification, and vice versa. I know plenty of people that hold certifications, but there's not that many people that hold certifications, but they may or may not work in a professional manner. Now, there seems to be a pretty high correlation of people that pursue certifications that, in the way I define it anyway, are also professional. But we'll dive into some of these distinctions a little further on. But the certifications, like the ones that most of us are mentioning here, the CRE, the ASQ, or the Society of Maintenance Reliability Professionals, there's a handful of others out there. That doesn't designate you as, in a legal sense, as being a professional engineer. Ray's one from California is in industrial engineering, and that's a license. That's basically the state saying you can sign an industrial engineering-based document, and that can be held up legally. So many of the other ones don't have a true certification. Is not a license. And if you look at the ASQ site on certifications, it says it very clearly. It just says that you sat for an exam on a body of knowledge and you passed, that you have demonstrated the mastery of that body of knowledge. But it doesn't give you any legal standing like a professional license does. So that's the short answer. But in the chat window, now, some of us have certifications and others don't. And Ray, I think you're the only true professional, licensed professional out here that that chimed in that I noticed. But what is it to be a professional? What does that really mean? So how do you define that? How do you consider what a professional is? And I'll throw out the first one, which is being licensed by the state to practice and sign documents is one definition of professional, but it's only one. What are some of the other ways that you would define what a professional is, in particular, a professional reliability engineer? Gives me a chance to take a sip of water here and I should chime in just quickly because we also broadcast this out as a podcast afterwards. So this long silence is me waiting for attendees to actually type in a few things. Sean is a professional, somebody who's paid for their expertise, I should say. So that could be education, courses, seminars, sitting for the exam, that kind of thing. Make your living doing reliability engineering. Code of conduct. Randy, I think that's one that I'd put near the top is ethical. A lot of the different professional societies have a code of ethics, and they're all very similar, but I think it's whether or not you have that license, you can adhere to that code of conduct. Sean, more and more today, though, you can get free college education courses like through edx.org and other places that I think having to pay for the courses is eroding to some extent. Plus, we do a lot of on-the-work education, and we're not paying for those directly oftentimes. But it does take an investment to master a field, especially reliability engineering. Providing good quality products for your customers. I appreciate that. Good one, Jim. Knowing the right questions to ask. Now, Ray, I'd put that up at the top, near that top also, is and how to get answers. It's not necessarily knowing the answers, but I agree that knowing the right questions, and that in part comes from experience and in part comes from the knowledge that we gather. All right, I think we hit on a good number of them there. Now, a slightly different question, though, is between expertise and education, producing good products, code of conduct, those kinds of things, that, well, why do we get certified? Why do people pursue that? You know, Sean, I don't know. That's a good question. Is getting certified or getting a license in reliability engineering from the state that they're requiring a university offering an accredited degree in that? I don't know those requirements. I really don't know. And I'm not sure if that's limited to universities within the state of Michigan or in general, but I mean, I teach in a program at University of Maryland, which offers master's and PhD degrees, and they're certainly accredited. So, and I know of about 15 other universities around the world that offer such degrees. So if you need a list of who's doing what, let me know, Sean. I can point you in the right direction of that. But I don't know if that's a requirement or not. Yeah. Australia, right? And Jim, going back to recognition, and now that's an interesting take on being a professional, because that's an interesting take on it. We'll come back to that. And well, Ray, yeah, I agree that you don't actually need a degree to be a professional engineer. My father actually got his professional architecture. Architect's license from the state of Wisconsin, and he never went to college. But it took him about 7 years and plenty of tries and lots of studying on his own in order to pass the test, basically. And then it does hold you up to, like many of the certifications that we get, it holds us up to a continuing education of some form or another. Or, and I don't know of anybody that's done this, sit for the exam again. So, why do you get a certification? What's in it for you to pursue a certification? And there's a good number of folks on the line that have a certification of one sort or another. But why did you get one? Why add those three, four, or like Philip, the many different acronyms? I don't even know what half of those are. PMP I've seen before, but I don't remember the acronym. But why would you get certified? I know in like in the medical field, a certified quality engineer for some people was a requirement of the position. But I don't know of any organization that requires reliability engineers to be certified. Yeah, resume. Sean, it's I don't think you have to be sad to say that. I think it is a viable addition to anybody's resume is certifications. And as we know, we very few of us are employed for life anymore. So having a solid resume is you never know when you really need it, and it comes in handy. I realize that in my work as a consultant, that having the certifications is not a showstopper for anybody, but it certainly helps, I think. I'm not exactly sure how sometimes. Employers like acronyms, yeah. Randy, what do you mean it's the DoD's certification is I'm not familiar with that policy. Adam, I agree, and that's one of the top things I referred to is that it's a way to learn that area to broaden your education. Yeah, and Michael, I know that some organizations put value on certifications and will encourage people to pursue a degree and will pay for that education. I taught a class in a company that the entire quality department was pursuing the certified quality engineer. It was a medical device company, and it was part of their expectation that their quality engineers would be certified. Tests and validates comprehension for a body of knowledge. Yep, I certainly agree, Phil. Companies require a CompTIA Security Plus certification. I haven't heard of that one, but I can see where some types of certifications are required. I know that even simple courses like knowing how to handle electronics without creating electrical static discharge or ESD, you might get a little certificate for attending that course or passing that course. And there's all levels of these certifications. Sometimes they come just as proof that you took the course. Whereas the CRE and other similar professional society ones also come with an ongoing education component in order to maintain your certification. And it's modeled after the professional engineering licenses, where you basically have to have some experience and mastery of a body of knowledge and an obligation to continue to educate yourself and stay current in your field. To show some evidence or proof that you have the body of knowledge. Good one, Oscar. Some do. In medical industry, there's some, as you're saying, Van, there's some requirements there. I've seen that in a few organizations, but outside of the medical industry, I haven't seen it as a requirement. I've seen it more as a good to have kind of situation. So there's plenty of different reasons people get certified. There's no doubt to that. But it's really not a it's not the same as being a professional. Now there's some interesting pieces that we'll explore it a little bit more, and then we'll talk a little bit about getting the certification, and then, well, which certification should you get? And there's a basic outline there. But the basic answer to the title of the session is getting a certification, say from ASQ for the Certified Reliability Engineer, mean that you're a professional? Not necessarily, but it does help you in understanding the technical aspects of reliability engineering. And as a few people have mentioned, is the CRE is, and I think it was Sean early on, said it's a very broad body of knowledge. It covers pretty much all of the quality statistics, plus the reliability type statistics, which are slightly different. It also includes management topics. It includes reliability planning and testing, environmental testing. It touches on safety and human factors, and it goes into maintenance engineering to some degree, availability, and so on. So it's a huge body of knowledge. But to be a professional, it's not enough just to know the stuff, to know the techniques and right? It's just as Philip has just mentioned, it's that you bring what you do. It's how you solve problems, how you go about asking the right questions, as somebody earlier mentioned. It's how you approach and solve problems and work with your peers. It's and short of scrolling back, as somebody had mentioned, it's how others see you. And so it's our behavior that really matters. And it's how we do our work that matters. So a very clear example of a non-professional is that you plagiarize. You take other people's work and claim it as your own in writing a paper, for example, or that you don't work well with your peers, something that we learned in kindergarten, basically, but it's working together as a team, but then not working in a professional or ethical manner, is taking credit where it's not due, for example. But there's also the more serious ones, is where you're cutting side deals with suppliers if you maneuver a decision to take them versus another because you would get a kickback for that. That's where that code of conduct with many of these different certifications come into play, is that there's a basic tenet to how engineers operate. And in general, it's being fair and above board and honest, with an eye towards safety and meeting the customer's requirements and specifications and expectations. So professional takes on a broader role when you roll in the code of conduct, but then also the secondary definition of how we do our job, how we work with others. So whether or not you have a certification doesn't really impact that, right? The certification is a milestone and may prompt you to broaden your knowledge, but it doesn't preclude you from being a professional. And so I wanted to make that point. But being a professional really is that mix of knowledge and behavior. It's knowing the information in reliability engineering, for example, when to do a hypothesis test, when to do a life data analysis, the different tools that are available to you is something that we're constantly learning and evaluating and adding to our toolbox as we go. I think there's this ongoing education that we, whether or not we have a certification to be a professional, I think we need to do that. We need to continue to learn how to ask better questions and how to solve more complex problems. And that's a general career path for most of us. Now, like I said, it doesn't really require a certification. But I found that there's a high correlation for people that are professional and take their career and their work seriously that will pursue a certification. And so you will see a high connection there. Years ago, I was the chair of the ASQ's reliability division, and ASQ is running their annual salary survey. And one of the results, year after year, was that if you hold a certified reliability engineering certificate, you typically had a higher, on average, the income for CREs was higher than any other certification. And there's a mix of small sample size involved here, but it was year after year after year that the CRE and CQE folks tended to get paid more. Now, the question I had for the people running that survey and trying to influence how they did the survey was, did people that exhibited professional behavior of in working in a CRE or CQE type roles, a quality engineer, a reliability engineer, were they also paid more in general than people that weren't a professional, that weren't full-time in that occupation and looking at it as a career? And they came back to me saying that they didn't know how to actually survey that in a convenient way. So it was easier to ask somebody, do you have a certification or not, and what's your salary? But getting at what the correlation was, and they were claiming there's no correlation, that if you get a CRE, you get a higher education, except in the title of the article. They were alluding to that, but I don't think there's a causation there. I think people that would pursue a certification would naturally be better performers. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't have any data on that, but what do you think? Is that true professionals in the field tend to get certification, and then that being a true professional in your field, the way you behave and act and solve problems, then leads to higher salaries and bigger opportunities. Does that make sense? Yeah, now I just need to figure out a way to survey that or find out. Although I'm not interested in going back to college and do a PhD in this field, but I think there's a relationship there that I think if we focus on being a professional first, the certifications will come. But I think the benefit is in how you apply the knowledge and how you work. So hopefully I'm not too far off in there, and see a few comments that get that. So it comes down to, again, is why do we get a certification? I mean, when in the organization I was in, when I got my certified quality engineer, they hadn't heard of it. before. I went to my boss and said, hey, I went to this ASQ meeting and they have some good information. There's a bunch of the stuff out there. And they mentioned that they were going to be holding this CQE exam in a couple of weeks. And I went over the body of knowledge and it looks like a lot of stuff that we're doing here. And, would you guys support me to go join ASQ and take this test? And they said, sure, that would be a good thing. So I did. And because of the work I was doing, and my boss at the time was had the philosophy of that every engineer should do an experiment every day. And so we were doing hypothesis tests and design of experiments and setting up control charts and doing all kinds of different studies in our factory. And plus, I was in the midst of pursuing a master's degree in statistics. So the hard part for me was the management questions, but everything else was stuff I did day in and day out. So it was a pretty easy test in that regard. But I was pretty fortunate because of the place I was working and who I was working for. But so for me, getting the certification was, why not? But for some people, it's a requirement of their position. In other people, it's a milestone or a goal that is a part of a career progression. But I think the biggest reason I hear, and I heard it here from a number of you that chimed in on in the chat window, is it's a way to broaden your expertise. Sean early on mentioned that the CRE is a tough test because it's such a broad body of knowledge. Now, when I sat for the CRE, I was working in a product development teams and doing accelerated life tests and using statistics day in and day out. But the maintenance part was completely new to me. So that took some work and some study and some research and having the right references in hand. Whereas if you're more in the maintenance world, asset management world, you may not have much knowledge about the product development process and the intimate day-to-day business of it. So depending on where you're coming from and your experience, the test is presented to you as a very broad body of knowledge. In some areas you know really well, in some areas may be brand new. It's very rare that somebody sits for that exam and knows every section of it. That's a pretty broad, tall order. So most certifications have this body of knowledge defined, which then suggests that you have to either refresh your knowledge in some areas or expand your knowledge into other areas. And that's not a bad prompt to set a deadline and go do it. So years ago, I wanted to run a marathon. So I put it on the calendar. I paid the $40 or whatever it was and said, well, I'm going to train and prepare and go run a marathon and get my t-shirt, basically. If I hadn't put it on the calendar, though, I probably wouldn't have trained very hard. And I think it's similar for some people to take. To sit for a certification is that you meet the basic requirements, then put it on the calendar and get yourself in the mode where you need to go learn to go do this stuff. So that's one part of it. A good number of people mentioned one reason for getting a certification is to confirm to your employer or future employer that you've mastered that body of knowledge, that you're familiar with this area. Now, most of the time, people are not looking for just the CRE on your resume. When I talk to people doing hiring, they're looking for how you use that information, how you've actually accomplished something with the information in the CRE. So, have you designed an accelerated life test? Have you worked with teams for design for reliability? Have you calculated availability of a line, for example? Have you created reliability models? And do you know what a reliability block diagram is as opposed to a fault tree is, for example? And can you explain how they're used? So mastery is sitting for a test is one thing, but being able to apply it is actually very valuable. So it's a start for that kind of conversation, but it's not the end of it. Now, one of the most interesting things I found with getting a certification is it creates I think, two levels of obligation. One of them is that in order to maintain a certification for like the CRE, is the CRE from ASQ has a 3-year cycle where you need to recertify. Now, in part, it helps create a revenue stream for ASQ, which isn't bad. It helps them to provide professional development materials and all the things that they do. But it also gives us a obligation to go to evening meetings, to present papers, to continue to learn in our field. And there's many, many different ways to do that, from writing a book to hosting a webinar, for example, in the topic area, or attending the webinar. And by the way, I think I fixed the messaging system. I finally got word back from Adobe that they fixed a bug. So you should only get one message saying thanks for attending, which you can use for recertification units with ASQ and I think with the Society of SMRP. But let me know if you get more than one, because I want to make sure it's working before I set it up on all the future webinars. But one obligation is that continuing education, and attending a webinar like this is one way to continue your education. And you get so much credit for that. The other obligation is to meet the tenets of that code of conduct, is to actually work as a professional. You're holding the certification. And part of the sign-up process for the CRE includes that you would abide by the ASQ code of conduct, which for is very similar to other engineering organization professional societies, and it's pretty much common sense. Is be fair, above board, not self-serving, those kinds of things. But it whether or not you do that on your own, signing up and getting a CRE is now saying that you're committing yourself to abide by that code of conduct. So it sets up a two-tiered obligation. And I'm not really sure I spelled obligation right or not. This doesn't look right to me, but anyway. So some of you have gotten more than one certification. How did you pick the certification that you have? Why did you pick the one that you have? You know, go back to the chat window here, Evan. Or as I think there's a couple people that have multiple certifications. And I've seen some, like from ASQ, that have just about anything ASQ's ever put out there, they've sat for and taken that exam. Yeah, based on the need of the organization, guidance of a mentor. That's it. Got a good mentor there, Adam. I imagine. Hopefully, it's worked out for both of you. Most relevant to your day-to-day work. That was with me for the CQE. It was pretty much what I was doing. And then later, as I moved more into reliability, I was there. Yeah, because it was what you're doing day to day. And exactly right, Jack. It's I think a lot of people see it that way. Yeah, so there's all kinds of certifications out there. Yeah, working in the area. Michael working as a reliability engineer. Jim thought it was the toughest. And yeah, a lot of people say it's a tough task and tough certification to get. That's just because reliability engineers are so tough, I guess, or good or professional, whatever. Yeah, and it's basically it's a way, especially in your own career, is to, is a milestone because it takes a combination of education and experience to qualify to sit for the exam, and it usually, like especially for the CRE, is such a broad body of knowledge. It does take some work before you sit for it. So the CRE is one we a lot of us are familiar with and mentioned. It tends to focus on product development, reliability work. Has bigger emphasis on that than the maintenance part. The maintenance and availability section is pretty cursory compared to the Society of Maintenance and Reliability Professionals, the CRMP. It tends to focus more on maintenance reliability type work a bit more heavy into asset management type topics, as far as I understand it. I haven't sat for the CRMRP. I've gone over the body of knowledge and noticed that just a lot of overlap, tons of overlap, slightly different focus in where it goes. Now, the CRE, the Ascendo Reliability site is, I've just closed, or in January, I launched a course, a self-paced CRE preparation course, and closed it because I wanted to finish the development of it and so on. I got a handful of students that are going through it and giving me great feedback, and expect to open it up again, I think in June. So if you're interested in that, you can go to the link, the Certified Reliability Engineer in blue there is a link, and you can sign up for an email list if you're interested in taking that course. And there's more details when you sign up for it. But I also teach it through the local ASQ's section, teach it live online, so you can be anywhere in the world and take it. We had one student in the first session we did that was from Norway, was getting up at 10:30 at night to attend the class, or staying awake late to attend the class. But so I'm most familiar with the CRE and actually teach those courses. So end of my advertising there. I've heard of lots and lots of great things about the CRMRP, and much like the CRE is a tough test, broad body of knowledge, but tends to focus more on maintenance, which is appropriate. And SMRP is a professional society focused on maintenance and reliability professionals. So it does a good service to the industry and the profession. More so, I think, than ASQ does. ASQ's reliability division is relatively small within the larger organization and is getting good stuff out, but not a focus on reliability like the SMRP folks do. Now, there's plenty of other societies out there. Another one that's relatively new and I thought was a really interesting certification, I think it's been out for maybe a year, maybe 2 years, is the Certified Reliability Leader from the Association of Asset Management Professionals, AMP. And it's a pretty good size professional society. I think it's just over 50,000 members. And it's a bit more focus on maintenance, but it in asset management. But the certification is on the tenet that anybody can be a leader in the organization. So from technicians through senior managers can, based on a combination of knowledge and adding value, can actually be a leader in their organization. And to some extent, this is similar to a thought leader, but the idea is that it's a combination of the basic knowledge of reliability engineering and more of a in a maintenance type program. But how do you influence other people? How do you work with the rest of the team? How do you convey that information? How do you make proposals? All of those kinds of topics get wrapped into it also. So it's one worth looking at, especially if you're in the maintenance side of the world. But I'm seriously considering it because of some of the aspects of what they reinforce and encourage, and the basic idea of it. So I'm not sure if anybody was familiar with that one or not. I ran into it a few years ago, or about 2 years ago. Now there's tons of other certificates out there. Some of them are like at the Reliability and Maintainability Symposium is really just an encouragement that you come back to a conference again. So the certification program there is based on how many tutorials you sit in on, and it's not possible to get the certification in one attendance at the conference. So you have to go at least 2 years to get enough tutorials to qualify for the certificate. ReliaSoft offers a certificate in reliability engineering, and it's based on a mix of the coursework. So you have to pay for a certain number of courses from ReliaSoft and do some project or body of knowledge using the tools that you learned there. So using their software, solve some problem, do some analysis, and they'll issue you a certificate. University of Maryland and other universities are offering small collections of courses, say four university level courses, that instead of being in a master's program, that you get a certificate. And then there's also certificates where you just take the class, participate, maybe pass a test at the end of the course, and you get a document saying you took that course. So they all different levels, different kinds of certificates, different obligations that come with them, and so on. I tended to focus on the ones that I imagine that you would, were expecting, is the CRE, the CMRP, and the like. But there's lots of them out there. You can get all kinds of paperwork for your suitable for framing kind of certificates. But as the main point was, it's really what you do with it, with that information and knowledge. So, in summary, basically, it's getting a certificate is an acknowledgement by a third party that you have some level of knowledge, that you have some element that you've got there. Doesn't mean you're a professional. That's up to you. That's how you work, how you behave, and what you do. Now, getting a certificate has a number of good things that are associated with it. There's nothing wrong with getting a certificate. It's just that it, in my mind, it doesn't make you a professional. But it certainly is a milestone for many professionals to get certificates from professional societies, for example. So I think there's intrinsic reasons for getting it. It's a milestone or a accomplishment in proving that you've mastered a body of knowledge, but also it's good for your resume. It's good for your employers may look kindly upon that. Now, when I got each of my certifications from ASQ, I didn't immediately get a big pay raise. It took time to show that I could actually add value with the knowledge that I gained by pursuing those things. And then there's lots of certifications out there, and I think most of the people agree that it's the one that is related to what you do and what you're doing in your industry. So you can pick the one that fits right for your situation, and that's perfectly fine. There's no one that makes the most sense. So I think that's the end of this. I've got a bit more time for questions or topics like that. I want to mention that we started a, I'm going to bring up the links and all the other stuff that's available here. So sorry if I moved the chat window in the middle of you looking for it. So Ascendo Reliability is a site that I've started last summer, and it's hosting these webinars, and the recordings will be there hopefully later today, possibly tomorrow before I get the recording posted. But there's also podcasts. There's three different podcasts, one of them which is the recordings of these webinars. And a couple of weeks ago, we started a new program called Mastermind Groups. And the idea was from RAMS is that a few people were saying, how do we continue these discussions that we have at the conference once we get back to work? How do we set up a mechanism that has these around the coffee table kind of shop talk discussions that where we can help each other? And so it made me think of what a mastermind group was. So there's Adam Barrett and Celine. Oh, I'm drawing a blank on her last name. I'm sorry. It was her idea. Came up with the idea of, well, let's create a mechanism to allow people to find a group. So we've had 22, I think it was 24 people as of this morning signed up. We've started four different groups and they're just getting started. They still have space to take a few more people. And with time zone differences and everything else and interest, we're trying to match people up so that it's convenient to meet. The basic idea is that you meet with a small group, say five people, on a regular basis and talk about what you have accomplished over the past since the last meeting. What are you looking forward to accomplishing in the next period of time to your next meeting, and what challenges are you facing? And then it's the collective input of the group to help you overcome those challenges. And so it's a very basic tenet for these meetings. But from what I understand, and I've been in a mastermind group, I didn't know it was called that until recently, with a group of peers of looking at how to do online education and webinars and bringing out material and so on, and writing and so on. So I've gotten a lot of support from my group, and hopefully have helped them also along the way. So take a look at that. If you're interested, you can sign up at Ascendo Reliability. And let me think, what else do I have on here? So let me take a look at the chat window and see what else is on your mind, what other things that you're interested in. And I'm also looking for topics for going into future webinars and events, things on this session. So I got a question. Sean asked a question at some point here. I don't see a time on it. Seems the popularity of reliability engineering has grown. And why is there not a professional certification available? Like a PE, I imagine you're saying, Sean. I don't know. And as one person in Michigan mentioned, is that the state wasn't recognizing a university program, which I don't think is true worldwide. But the notion is that I don't know that popularity. I don't know. You know, Sean, I don't know why we don't have a professional license in the field. It is a very, very broad field, and it has amazing amount of influence on programs and plants and factories in their reliability operation. But I think part of it is that we're often in a position of influence rather than of, say, design. So if you're in a civil engineer and you design a bridge, if you get it wrong and it fails, I think that's why there's licensing going on there, is to make sure that people that do actually design bridges have gone through the rigor of what they need to consider and what elements of the knowledge they need to have in order to design a safe bridge that will last the test of time. Whereas reliability engineering, we might work with the civil engineer to look at the durability of, say, concrete that they're using, but we're not the one making the final decision. So I think there's some separation there. Yeah, and Philip, I certainly agree, is that there is a sense of accomplishment. And I remember getting my certificate, and as you recertify, you get another one or a card, basically. And I always joke that it's suitable for framing, and I have seen them framed in a number of people's offices. It is a mark of distinction, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And it is a nice milestone. I know that ASQ Reliability Division is looking at adding a second tier certification, so that it's for like a master of reliability engineering, not a master's degree or diploma, but that you need more experience, you need higher input or value in order to get the second, like the CRE would be a prerequisite, and then add 10 years, and then there'd be another certification process. So I'm seeing a number of people saying thanks, so we'll probably just go ahead and wrap it up, and hopefully, it gave you something to think about, another way to look at these things, maybe introduced you to a different way of thinking about certifications. And if you haven't pursued one, it's something to put into your to-do list if it makes sense for you. And hopefully, you got a little more information on what they're about and so on. So, all right. And I'll stay on the line here for a few more minutes to see if there's any other questions or discussion points. But we'll go ahead and end the recording. So thanks for attending, and thanks for all the input on the chat window. Appreciate that.